Well, this is the Real BS Show again.
That's right.
Are we recording?
Yes, we are.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear no music. That's
no,
why I was
no, yeah. kind of throwing it off a little bit.
Something different this week.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah.
What do you want to do?
Let's go back. Let's go back in time. You know, there's always...
We'll pick a year.
Yeah.
Pick a year. Just any year.
Well, you take any year, good old year, and kind of go back to your childhood or your young teen years. I would say, what's when you were 14, Bill? What year was
64.
That? 64. What a year.
64. It was a nothing year. Nothing happened.
Oh, I don't know about that. There was a lot of things going on, you know?
Nothing big. You know, nobody got shot or killed landed on the moon or any of that kind of stuff.
No. But it was a big year going on. There was a lot of things going on that people don't even realize. I think it was a pivotal year.
Probably. We didn't. Nothing big.
Yeah. But that was, you know, back then your parents had a TV or radio, for instance.
Oh, radio.
Radio. And so they were listening to the news through the radio.
Pretty much.
And that's a difference, man. I mean, you go back, you know, you look now, people are getting their news from the internet.
I used to hear the Beatles. I had a, you know, I joined the record club. I had a paper out back then. And I joined the Columbia Record Club. So they sent me an album every month. I didn't even ask for it. I didn't even, you know, it just showed up. Whatever they thought was, they didn't sell too many of them. They'd ship them to their customers.
Oh, wow.
My parents used to hear the Beatles, and they'd say, those guys will be gone in 6 months. Listen to some Frank Sinatra or something like that. I said, oh, geez.
Right.
Boy, were they wrong.
Well, yeah, smokes. Those guys all had their individual careers afterwards, and so, you know, two are still going, you know?
Yeah, they've been around forever. It's amazing how long. Paul McCartney's still...
He's still kicking.
Yeah.
And then so is Ringo Starr. He's still kicking, you know? Think about that original drummer, man, of the Beatles. He must be kicking himself in the butt so much that they kicked him out.
I forgot his name.
But yeah, same here. But we all know Ringo Starr, you know, the steady and going. You know, he's always on time. But
I never thought that much about him. His singing was kind of stupid, Yellow Submarine.
Yeah, that's
stuff
horrible,
like that.
Horrible. They're like trying to pull him off the ceiling when he was singing that song because they were too high. Whoever thought to put him up there in the lead singing of that band. But yeah, that's a pivotal year, man. You were, you know, getting records and. You know, let's get a catalog of all the songs that kind of you enjoyed or you knew were popular.
Yeah, just pick out some popular hits from 64, see what pops up.
I just think that's a bigger decade or bigger year of a big decade of in the world. I really think it was a huge pivotal moment. You know, the 50s, you know, a lot of people in went through World War II, for instance, and a lot of those men came back really
screwed up,
and there was pamphlets, you know, nowadays people call sexist, we'll call it, for instance, that they'd get these women would get these pamphlets, make sure you have a quiet home, a peaceful home, and when your husband gets home, it's all calm and quiet, and they don't realize they were describing how to handle people that had severe PTSD. And I recognize, mental health wasn't well known back then, but man, you look back at the times now, you go into the 60s where you were growing up, I don't know if your father was in World War II or not.
Oh yeah. Big time.
So it's like,
he's one of the first Americans that fought in Germany.
Oh really?
He was with, Patton, George Patton.
Oh yeah.
General Patton. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you look at that generation and then your generation's being raised by that group. It's a difference, you know, that people don't realize that decade, how much of importance it was and how people were and what they thought.
Giant difference. Big time.
And so it's kind of like, you know, my grandfather, he was born in 29. He missed World War II by a little bit, but that generation's no longer around with us. I think, you know, most of them are pretty much, well, there's a few left, but they're mostly gone. But there's a lot of information that we lost because with that generation going. And
well, they're hard working, hard drinking, hard, you know,
serious.
Bunch.
They, yeah. You know,
he didn't, I don't know. It's all it's a lot different now. What do they call that nowadays? Mamby pamby or woke or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a whole bunch different.
I will say though that the younger generation that's after that's younger than me, it's more serious than the people think they are. There's some people that say, oh, these kids don't want to work hard anymore. And I kind of disagree with that, that some of them are pretty hardworking. There's a lot of them getting into trades. There's a lot of them getting into careers that require a lot of, you know, work smart and hard at the same time. So I think there's a misconception that the young youth don't want to work or whatnot. And that's not true. I think they're hardworking from what I've seen. It's just things are tough now. I mean, they were tough back when you were growing up, but they're really tough now.
Well, there was no giveaways. There was no government. Government didn't give you something for everything.
Right.
I mean, it was just if you didn't have money, then you were out of luck.
Right. And it's kind of that way, you know, with some of these young guys, young women out there. That it's a lot harder than people realize for these young, this youth out there, and so they are working hard to make a successful life. You know. And that's kind of the American spirit, you know, you work through the perseverance, and that's kind of what your father and your grandparents had to do, is they busted butt to get things done. They had to struggle and suffer through a lot of hardship to make a stable living, a stable something, you know. We'll call it stable because you didn't die. You didn't starve to death. Maybe you didn't have as much as your neighbor, but you still, you're here today, obviously. The evidence is here, you know.
I'm one of the lucky ones still breathing, I guess.
Right. So I don't know. That's a pivotal year to me, or pivotal decade, I should say. And so I kind of like going back to that a lot because, man, the generation before you and the one before that really struggled hard. They went through World War II and World War I before that, and then they had to bust butt when they came back. They didn't have it easy. You know, they had some things a little bit easier when they came back, like the GI Bill and, you know, some housing and stuff being built. But that's really one of the problems, I think, today, is there's not enough housing being built, you know. And it's a difference between the 50s and the 60s. And now, I think it's the main difference, is there was a lot of housing being built. You can see it everywhere. A lot of houses built in the 50s and 60s. And now it's like, what's being new built? You know, what's new there? And it's not much. So I don't know. You're one band that you were in, the Boys Not Out. You guys did a song that I really enjoyed. It was by the Searchers, I believe.
We did a couple by them.
Yeah, Pins and Needles.
Potion Number 9 and Pins and Needles.
Yeah. Well, let's hit that one up.
Pins and Needles?
Yeah.
All right. Now, these are all 64 songs that were big time in 64. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's focus on 64 and see what songs pop up, because
just memory lane.
It's a long time ago. Okay, let's give that one a shot.
Because
podcast show. We're back.
On another Thursday afternoon.
Beautiful downtown.
Is it after 12? Yeah, it is.
It's after 12. Beautiful downtown Union City.
Yeah, it's cold out, though.
That's true.
I got to do my weather report.
Yeah.
The sun's shining, but it's still cold.
That sun feels great, though.
Yeah.
It's something refreshing.
I think there's some warm air coming.
I hope.
Yeah.
It snowed yesterday. It snowed.
I know. I woke up to an inch of snow on the ground. Everything was white.
Yeah, my son woke up and goes, my son woke up and goes, oh, it snowed outside. I looked out the window. I was like, oh, it did.
Go back to bed.
Yeah. Go back to bed, America.
Yeah.
The government's in control.
I wish this would get over with. I'm sick of this cold weather. Terrible.
Yeah.
Well, 64. I think the first concert I ever went to in my life was Herman and the Hermits.
Oh, yeah? Where at?
At, is in the area there, though. What's that place?
The Civic Center?
No, it was, they didn't have a Civic Center then. It was out on, Waldemar.
Yeah.
Rainbow Gardens.
Yeah.
I think it's still there, matter of fact.
Right. The Rainbow Gardens?
Yeah. It looked big back then. It's still probably. I haven't been there in a long time, so I don't know for sure. But yeah, it was a big deal. I don't know. It was somebody you heard on the radio, and then boom, there they were, right in front of you. You know, and, wow, it's really them. It was kind of an experience,
right?
But that was the very first one. I don't even know how I got the $5 together to buy a ticket. I don't know.
Well, in 64, you know, $5, you know, that was probably like 20 or 30 bucks now. I don't know. You know, it's one of those, things that, like, how many people were there?
Because I guess I had a paper route, so that helped.
Right. Yeah, it's 1964, and you said $5, right? Oh, it's $32 back then, or now. If you were to go to a concert, that's cheap, really, $32.
Yeah.
You know, if you really think about it, converting $5 to modern currency. But how many people were there, you think? Was it packed?
Oh, yeah, it was loaded. I think Herman and the Hermits, they moved to Buffalo or someplace in New York there, right? Not far from us. Herman, I forget his last name. But anyways, I don't know if he's still alive. He might not even be alive anymore.
We can check that out. Herman Hermits were an English rock group. They were from Manchester. The singer was Peter Noon or Nunn.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
He's still alive. That's kind of 77 years old.
Does he live in Buffalo or
I'm looking
Fredonia
here.
Or New Dunkirk or someplace?
You know, it's a. Yeah, it doesn't say where he is. It's one of those things, you know. They could have been there for a while, probably just to perform, you know.
They were producing records for somebody and
like Phillips or something.
10,000 Maniacs would go record. They pushed the Maniacs around.
Oh, really?
Peter Noon. I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a. It looks like he did some solo work, too. Harvey Lindsberg, he's an English talent manager that found him. Yeah. Yeah, that was their first hit that they're from their records and stuff. But they seemed like they really kick-started a lot. They were on Sirius XM for a while. He has a weekly 3-hour program on there. 3 hours. That's crazy. You know?
Well, they were a biggie back in those days and, you know, right along with the Beatles. And, of course, the Beatles were out of sight. You know, you had to go to New York City or someplace really big to see them.
Right.
But these guys were pretty big, too. They're part of the British invasion.
Yeah. That's a term that some youth might not understand, but that was a big thing with the rock movement that, you know, they took the blues from America and basically, you know, copied it and made their kind of themselves, you know. That's what music is anyways, is copying
each
other.
You had the Rolling Stones and the Cream, Eric Clapton and the Boys. And so you had a lot of British people coming over and making money.
Oh, they hit it hard. They hit it good, too. I mean, there was a lot of, like, you know, they covered some of the classics from the 30s and 40s and 50s and then, the blues stuff and then made it rock and roll more. And
everything we heard, we thought was brand spanking new. We didn't know anything.
Right.
So it's a lot crazy. Of it was copied, but yeah. Anyways, let's hear what was his name? Herman and the Hermits.
Yeah, yeah. Herman and the Hermits. Yeah.
Jeez. So old I can't remember them. Yeah. All right. Let's do an American 64 band.
Right.
The drummer in our band, and it'd be the late 60s, early 70s, his sister dated this guy that's going to sing, Frankie Valli.
Mm.
And he was from Titus, or she was from Titusville. She met him at Edinburgh College there, and she dated him for a while. I guess it didn't last, but.
Yeah.
I think the guy was married six times or something. I don't know. Frankie Valli's still alive, too.
Yeah, 90 years old.
Yeah. Jeez. And that real high voice.
And he's still performing. That's the part, the part that...
Yeah, they keep giving him money, so...
Jeez.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. that must be a moneymaker.
He's probably saving money for when he gets old.
Yeah.
When he retires, he wants to have a little bit of money under the pillow.
Yeah, just kind of, sit, kick back and relax, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. He'll figure it out when it's too late. he's in there on an oxygen machine dying of cancer or something.
Right. Well, at that point, when you're 90, I mean, do you really die of any disease or you just die of old age? I don't know. But
you just wake up one morning and you're dead. Boom. Yeah.
but maybe just enjoy singing. Maybe just like, look at me, I can sing and just want to sing and then perform.
Maybe that's
people.
What he's doing. He's just doing what he likes to do.
I mean, really, it's not extremely hard. I mean, at this point, how many songs he's probably written and sung that he doesn't have to write anymore at that point? When do you stop writing? I don't know.
I doubt if he's working at all. He's just rehashing old memories.
Yeah. I mean.
Let it rip. Give me the money and I'll see you later. Okay, let's Frankie Valli, everybody. It's a Four Seasons thing. He was the head honcho. Ooh.
you're gonna. Now your daddy don't mind, and your mommy don't mind. We have another dance with you, just one more.
That's their version of somebody else's song that did it now in the 50s. And probably 100 people did it after them,
right,
too.
Right, right.
A lot of the Rolling Stones and Jackson Browne and all kinds of people threw that in there.
I always thought Jackson Browne wrote it until one day I looked it up, and I was shocked to see how far back that song went back to 1960. It was originally written. And then everybody's copied, like you said, everybody's copied it after that.
Yeah.
You know? But it's a good song.
Catchy, yeah.
Gets in your head, you know. Talking about that, there's another, we did last week, Manfred Mann. They covered a Bob Dylan song. And here's again, they're covering somebody else that, you know, originally wrote the song, it's Doo-Wah Diddy, was written by Jeff Barry and Ellie Greenwich. I always thought they wrote this song, you know? I didn't know. Again, this is one of those things where you learn. No, they
well,
just, they
cares?
Covered it.
Back in the 60s, nobody cared. It just sounded good. That was right. Fine to buy that album. That was one of my first albums, too, Manfred Mann.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I guess this song here is what caught me.
Yeah, it's a catchy song. That's what, to me, I was, you know, you go into these deep dives of who wrote the music. Like Bob Dylan, he's a great songwriter, and you start getting into these other songwriters like Sia, and I don't know, Bob Dylan's still writing songs even to this day. And I'm always amazed by how some people just like being behind the scenes. I kind of relate to that a little bit. I like being behind the scenes doing things and less spotlight, you know. But we can hit this band up. This is a good song. I really like this one.
Well, let's play it.
There she was, just walking down the street singing
Doo-wah diddy diddy dum diddy doo,
tapping her fingers and shuffling her feet singing
Doo-wah diddy diddy dum diddy doo.
She looked good,
looked good.
She looked fine,
looked fine.
She looked good, she looked fine. And I nearly lost my mind. Before I knew it, she was walking next to me singing
Doo-wah diddy diddy dum diddy doo,
holding my hand just as natural as can be, singing
Doo-wah diddy diddy dum diddy doo.
We walk on,
walk on
to
my door.
We walk on to my door, then we kissed a little more. Whoa, I knew we was falling in love. Yes, I did, and so I told her all the things I'd been dreaming of. Now we're together nearly every single day singing
Doo-wah diddy diddy dum diddy doo.
We're so happy and that's how we're gonna stay singing
Doo-wah diddy diddy dum diddy doo.
Well, I'm hers,
I'm hers,
she's mine,
she's mine.
I'm hers,
she's mine.
Wedding bells are gonna chime. I told her all the things I've been dreaming of. Now we're
we're together nearly every single day singing. Oh, we're so happy, and that's how we're gonna stay singing.
Well, that's a catchy phrase, huh?
Yeah.
Whatever it means, I bet it has some deep meaning.
I'm sure it does.
Okay. Probably well, speaking of deep meanings, what's a world without love?
Yeah, that's right.
Is that what the next one is? Peter and Gordon?
Peter and Gordon, yeah.
Yeah. They were big for 2, 3, 4 years, and then they just, poof, disappeared.
They had some top 10 hits.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't a one-hit wonder. They were a multi-hit wonder. And
yeah. Well, they sang nice together. They learned how to strum a guitar, and that was it. Off they go.
And then they disbanded in 68. So, like, what, 4 or 5 years they were together, and boom, gone. You know?
Huh.
But still, you know, I mean, a lot of their songs have, you know, I know you might not think they're popular, but everyone knows their songs. So they just may not know who sang them, you know? But,
yeah.
So, yeah, it's
well, let's listen to that one and see what that does for everybody.
Yeah.
Lock me away and don't allow the day here inside where I hide with my loneliness. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love. Birds sing out of tune and rain clouds hide the moon. I'm okay. Here I'll stay with my loneliness. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love. So I wait, and in a while I will see my true love smile. She may come, I know not when. When she does, I'll lose. So baby, until then, lock me away and don't allow the day here inside where I hide with my loneliness. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love. When she does, I'll know. So baby, until then, lock me away and don't allow the day here inside where I hide with my loneliness. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love.
It's the Real BS Show, you know that?
Yeah.
It's our chance to BS for the week.
That's right.
Then yeah. I go back to my cabin in the woods and chop wood.
Yeah, he's
firewood.
He's a lumberjack. That's yeah. Okay.
I'm getting old. Getting very old quick. What are we going to do next? I forgot.
Oh, there's Roy Orbison.
Oh, Roy Orbison, yeah. I don't know anything about him, nothing. I never liked him. He looked weird to me and just... I don't know. Nothing. Other people did his songs, some of his songs,
right. And
jazzed him up a bit. But
I personally thought, you know, excluding his looks, ignore that for a bit. just, I think, talent-wise, he was a great writer. He wrote his own lyrics. He wrote his own music. And I think he was way better than Elvis. I think he...
Was he blind?
No.
He had some dark glasses all the time. He did, or something.
Yeah. It was probably drugs. But
gray glasses or orange-colored, I don't know.
He had black glasses, if I remember correctly. But the point is, he, in my opinion, was at the time probably one of the most talented artists out there. And the way he composed his rock music was like orchestra. It was like, it was almost like a composer in a lot of ways. He wrote everything just to fit the piece. And he had the music talent, I think, to put the song together that caught your ear. And so I always enjoy listening to him because it's like he's just immensely talented. And I know that's not for everybody. That's just my personal view. I think he was one of the most talented people out there because he has all these hits, you know? And
wow.
You know that, and
Lawrence Welk was talented too.
Yeah,
that's, but I didn't like him.
I'll admit that's something my father listens to Lawrence Welk still, but that's because his dad listened to Lawrence Welk, and that was like an early MTV. Really, you think about it, there's these songs Lawrence Welk would put on that were redone songs with his performers that were popular songs. And so I think you look at it in the context, it was like an early MTV. They were showing like music videos on TV. And that changed everything. You didn't really have what Lawrence Welk was doing that much. I mean, that's why he became popular. But I don't know. Roy Orbison, to me, just talented.
Hey, you like him, you like him.
Yeah, I mean, I just think musically, you know, he's a very talented guy. And that's okay. You can disagree. That's okay. I'm not going to try to convince you, you know.
No, don't. You don't have to because no. I already know I don't like him.
But I think, you know, this is not my favorite song by him, but it's a hit in 64 that kind of set the stage.
Oh, yeah. Was it big time in 64? Yeah, okay, yeah. That's what year we're sticking with.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's Roy Orbison, everybody.
Oh,
you go.
Pretty woman. Yeah.
A lot of people did that song after him. 64, I just remember the Beatles were everywhere. Mm. I mean, they were all over everything. My parents kept saying, well, they'll be gone in 6 months.
Mm.
You know, don't listen to that crap.
Right.
Well, they're still around, some of them. But I'm sure you must have some big hits from 64 that were made by the Beatles.
Well, we had to limit it down, because otherwise we'd have played...
They had too many.
Yeah, they had too many.
They were pumping them out left and right.
We only included three. They had other hits during 64, but we had to really restrict it down to just three, because otherwise we'd be playing a whole album, basically. The whole show would have been Beatles. Yeah. So
They were really raking it in.
Hey, I mean... Time. They had the crowds. I mean, you listen to some of the early performances they had of the people screaming at their concerts. They had to turn their amps up and barely could hear themselves. Never anything like that before. I mean, you had Elvis beforehand that had people screaming, but they had something. It was just another decibel level higher with the Beatles.
Yeah. So big, big, giant crowds. Big time. So let's play some Beatles stuff that was written or produced or made number one or something in 64.
Right, released in 64, yeah.
Oh, okay, released. All right, take it away.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do.
feel happy inside. It's such a feeling that my love
recording?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, back, I remember one thing back in them days is that the Beatles were big, and I never ever bought a Beatles song, record of any kind.
Right.
Never did, because they were always on the radio constantly. But there was one other band that I really liked, and I thought they would be every bit as big as the Beatles, but it didn't happen.
Right.
It was Dave Clark Five, and it was kind of a fun bunch to play. Their stuff was pretty basic, but and I think that was right around 64.
Yep.
It had to be.
Yeah, it was 64.
So why don't we say goodbye to everybody and end the show with some Dave Clark Five if you want.
Right.
Is that okay?
Yeah. Did you buy these albums though? I mean, when you
Dave Clark Five, I had a couple of their albums.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how long they lasted. They didn't last that long.
Oh, well, you know, it's always...
I'd say they were like Peter and Gordon or something. They were like 4 or 5 years and they were done.
Right. They were from England again. They were another British invasion.
Definitely.
And they performed from 58 to 70, and then for a short bit, 3 years after that, and then they broke off. You know, they all stopped performing.
Yeah.
That's still a decent amount of time, but geez, you know.
Well, they didn't make it as big as the Beatles.
Right.
I mean, they just, I thought they would, but they didn't.
Right.
So, I didn't have that many albums from them. I think maybe two.
Right, right.
And,
they definitely were outperforming. They were, you know, out there performing pretty decent, but it's one of those.
They were popular, that's for sure, but I guess it didn't last long.
Right.
I don't think anybody has the Beatles staying power.
No.
Paul McCartney, anyways.
No.
So, won't we say goodbye to everybody? Stay healthy, stay safe.
Right.
You know, don't get in any accidents or end up in a hospital somewhere.
Right.
And we'll see you next week.
See ya.
He says, bitch.